Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel for this Friday, the 28th of August. Very nice to have you with us, as always. And we have a great panel for you. And, you know, when orchestras get ready to perform, they tune up.
Yes.
And the oboe plays an
A. Yeah, there's that microphone.
And the oboe plays an A.
That's right. And just before we went on, right to the end of your newscast, where they were talking about the Quickie Bridge, which I'm not a big fan of.
No. Quickies in general are...
people don't know what that is. That's when they slide in a bridge.
Just explain. Right.
But people may not have been listening at that moment.
No. That happens a lot during my newscast.
Yes. People go to the bathroom, they do other things.
See, I take it to be sort of the turnaround. Like, they're listening to you, and then they hear
it's the panel again.
Right.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're in aisle three of Home Depot. So, but the tune-up. The tune-up for the program.
Yeah.
Just happened just right at the end. There was a little sniping between Alan and Rosemary, and it was good.
Started by Rosemary.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Wah, 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 wah. I spent my whole career in print and I guess now in radio, which means you don't get to talk about my hair or what I look like. I'm not Jessica Savage. You were yesterday.
I
hold that against you.
No, I wasn't talking about your hair. I was talking about the shirt you were wearing, and I was fascinated by it. It just said "Sure" on
yesterday.
The back.
This is yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. And I didn't know what that meant, that's all. So I said, what did "Sure" mean? For two days, I've been hearing
But in
you
the
complain.
Middle of a discussion about dying journalists, you're talking about what I'm wearing.
No.
Sort
I said
of
it, no.
Inattention that makes America the country in trouble it is today.
No, I said it before we took up any subject. That's when I said it. So
that
please.
Said, Rosemary, you look marvelous.
I was going to say that, too. I like your hair today a lot. And I'm not objectifying
you
a bit.
I hate this immensely.
Yeah, okay, you're right, and I agree.
Let's talk about dying migrants.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. All right,
so good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel. Let me introduce the group to you, because I know you want to know them by name. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
And good morning to you, Joe, to Rosemary in particular, to Ray, and to all those people out there in the ships at sea.
That's right. Rosemary Armeo is here. She's a University at Albany journalism professor. She's also an investigative journalist. And it's a thrill to have.
Sure. He's still sniping. Make him stop.
Teacher, make him stop.
I have to separate
be nice.
You two kids.
That's right. I'm going to turn this
the show right
car
around.
Right around, and we'll go home. to go home. And then and Ray Graff is with us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
All right. Good morning. Welcome. Let's talk. Wow. So this is the story out of Europe, and it is it's a very troubling story. Austrian authorities launched an international probe Thursday into the deaths of more than 70 suspected migrants, with white-suited forensic experts still struggling to count the decomposed corpses left by a tragedy that immediately touched off a new round of recriminations over Europe's handling of an escalating refugee crisis. The bodies were discovered shortly before noon after a highway patrol officer investigated a putrid smell and liquid coming from the back of a truck abandoned near an Austrian village on the main expressway between Vienna and Budapest.
You're looking at me.
Okay, I'm looking at you to talk a little bit about the refugee situation, what we knew about it, and what this brings to light.
This is a really troubling story, and I hope all the angry, frustrated, xenophobic people who are supporting Donald Trump are listening to this, because this is what happens when you deal with refugee problems without a compassionate and united front. There are people trying to get out of Syria and other parts of the Middle East because their lives are in danger. They have no future. And what they're doing is trying to get to Northern Europe, where there are policies in place to help refugees. But before they can get there, they have to go across the Mediterranean or through Turkey and then up through the Eastern Europe and get into the places where they are safer
hungry.
And more welcome. Hungary now is building a wall. Hungary's not taking in refugees. They just don't want the refugees to even pass through their place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are countries that have decided now they're not going to patrol the Mediterranean, so that you have huge ferries of dilapidated boats sinking, hundreds drowning at a time. And these are people who are they're just trying to stay alive, and this is what happens. So as things are closing down, human traffickers are taking advantage of this, and you pay them to ferry you into safety, and what you end up with are disreputable people. They operate on our own borders, moving up from Latin America and Mexico into the United States, and you end up with a truck filled, crammed with people who probably suffocated to death on the side of the highway of a civilized country. I salute Angela Merkel, of Germany, who has taken a stand that we need to deal with this better. We need to be humane. We need to be united. And there are things you can do, like have reception centers right on the border where refugees come in, and so you're going to check to see if they really are eligible for asylum. And you move them yourselves to a safe place. You patrol the Mediterranean to make sure people aren't drowning on unseaworthy vessels. Have we learned nothing? This is the same as just before World War II. When you're a student of that era, you know this better than I do. And people were trying to get to safety, and borders were shut to them. We're putting up walls and saying no. And why? Why?
Well, because they don't, you know, because they're afraid of what they aren't. Anybody who's different is the basis of all prejudice, Gordon Allport. And read it all, and this is Angela. You're exactly right about Angela Merkel. She has really distinguished herself in the last several days, and there's a not so obscure reference to the Nazi past of Germany when she says this country doesn't treat people in a subhuman way, and no, you know, I thought, wow, that's really good. And I'm you know, every time I think of Angela Merkel, I think of our tapping her phones, you know, over there.
Yeah.
I think she's an extraordinary woman.
You know, for the United States, there's also just, again, this lack of an overall policy, because the refugee crisis in Europe is not unlike the situation here, where people are coming for economic reasons from the Southern Hemisphere, and we're blocking them rather than doing two things that the United States could be doing. One is to work within the countries where they're coming from to make sure they can live there safely and economically with enough money to live on. And we should be supporting those countries who are willing to take in refugees. Lebanon, for example, is a country that's let people come in. They're totally overwhelmed. They don't have the money to support the many thousands coming in. Otherwise, you let them die in trucks by the side of the road. And that does, I'm afraid, have a really ugly Nazi echo to it. When the Nazis were cramming people into trucks and poisoning them.
Well, I mean, you can't be
blaming
a state for that, right?
No, it isn't. It is, well, I do blame them for lack of policy, but it isn't planned in the same way the final solution was,
of course. But that, Ray, is why I think Angela Merkel is so remarkable. She knows, Donald Trump knows, that people are not happy about immigration. So Donald Trump goes for the cheapest common denominator that he possibly can, and Angela Merkel goes in exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And she says, this is a human responsibility. We're going to meet our responsibilities. Europe as a group will meet it. And she plays to the best of people. So, yeah, you can blame states and leaders who either play the Trump card or not.
Jorge Ramos, was the Univision reporter who was bodily thrown out of the Trump news conference.
He was escorted out. You saw the video, right?
I saw it.
He was not a tall man,
like standing right up against him.
He was not mad.
Well, you wouldn't want to mess with the tall man.
Yeah.
And he did have his hand on the guy's elbow. Nevertheless, I thought that for Trump, he handled it fairly well. In other words, I watched the video and I thought, he was not a screamer.
My point about Ramos is that he came out and said the media needs to press him, which we are not, on his policies about immigration. We're just letting people cheer when he says build a wall. He goes, well, who would build it? Where would it go? How would you pay for it? And you want to deport all of the unpapered immigrants that are in here? Mm. How would you do that? You're talking about major use of trains and planes and buses and whatever. The safety of that, much less the cost, would be unprecedented in U.S. history.
Also,
and we'd never ask him about it.
The other disturbing part about the video, and to your point, was when Ramos was out in the hallway.
Yeah.
And Trump's guy said, go back to your country.
Yes.
It's
ugly.
Well, Trump said, go back to Univision, which a lot of people, I don't know, interpreted to mean go back to your country.
Well, yeah, I mean, Donald Trump is suing Univision, so it's, sure. I think he has his issues with the company. But to Rosemary's point of the way that we're reacting to this, it was one of the stories that I was going to talk about a little bit later, but about our tolerance level that has gone much, much higher to horrific violent crime, as we saw this week in Virginia. And this is the same thing, isn't it? I mean, we're almost desensitized to it, and especially when you have this type of ideology that is being accepted by a swath, let's say.
But I want to know what the political fallout from this is going to be. Listen, if every person of Hispanic parentage or ancestry came out and voted in this election against the Trump philosophy, you'd see a huge difference. However, I don't think that's going to happen. And that's because traditionally Hispanics and others who are coming up often economically don't vote. And in a democracy, that's when the Trumps win.
Long term, we've talked about this. It's a stupid policy for the Republicans, because while immediate immigrants do not, certainly their supporters and their second generation, their children, they all do, and there's an increasing number of these kinds of voters, and they do vote. The Cubans, for example, are a very powerful bloc, as we know, mm-hmm. in Florida. So overall, it's not a good policy. But just from the humanitarian point of view, it's just ugly.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to a few letters, and then we'll take a news break at the bottom of the hour. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Harney & Sons Fine Teas. 30 years, 3 generations, sourcing and blending their own teas from tea garden to tea cup, from their original 6 teas to more than 300. Harney.com. And Shakespeare & Company, Lenox, Massachusetts, presenting Tina Packer in Mother of the Maid by Jane Anderson, a comedy following the story of Joan of Arc as seen through her mother's eyes, through September 6th, Shakespeare.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday morning. Very nice to have you with us. And to get some letters before we go to the bottom of the hour news break.
Remembering, of course, that we read the letters, but we don't have a lot of time to analyze them. And, you know, they are just sent to us, and that's the way it is. Okay, let's take some refugees here, says someone. David, Jews weren't blowing things up like the Muslims do. That is what Europeans are afraid of. Hey, let's take some refugees here. Oh, wait, not in my backyard. There are 25 Muslim-majority countries. Let them take their own. This is the same story of the Palestinians. The surrounding Arab countries kept Palestinians in refugee camps while Israel absorbed Jews not only from Europe but also Jews from Iraq, Syria, and Egypt and Morocco. That's from David. And Robert says, what happened to those refugees in Austria was nothing short of cold-blooded murder for profit, should be prosecuted as such. The truck owner must have known that his truck container had no ventilation. He still packed 70 human beings into it and then abandoned them to slowly suffocate. No punishment is too severe for such monsters. The question I would have they found the... Have they found the truck driver? No.
They found the registered owner of the truck.
Suppose for a second, I'm not saying this is the case, but just suppose for a second that truck driver is dead. Somebody came and found him and put a bullet in his head. Are there enough people who are angry about refugees to have perpetrated something like that? It's possible, right? Isn't it possible?
I guess anything is possible.
Especially in Austria.
You know about Austria?
I don't know what you're inferring.
Well, they've never been exactly, the Austrians have never been exactly known as a tolerant society. Without going too much further.
And hello to our Austrian listeners. Thank you.
That's why they're here and not there.
Is there another letter or is that
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Yes. And Michael says, please don't include anything in Trump's policy in a discussion of real-world leaders such as Merkel. Trump is an ignorant, vulgar bully and cannot be included in discussion of world leaders. Michael, we appreciate all your mail, but you don't tell us what to do.
But Michael's got a real good point there. We have a whole lot of Americans who are looking to put Trump into those ranks
exactly.
with world leaders. Scary
exactly so.
Stuff.
Exactly yeah. so. And Wesley says, neither funding for the Great Wall of America nor the mass deportation plan will ever meet the 60-vote test in the Senate, which the national media should have pointed out by now. Oh, come on. I mean, the fact is, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the Senate isn't going to pass it. You're right about that. But, you know, that's Trump.
Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We have BBC, and then we will come back, and we will get to more. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Hey, everybody at their own little sing-along
going
here.
Have a beer with that music,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's obviously...
you guys were singing, but Alan and I were discussing deep
policy
issues.
The reason
issues.
Ray was singing is because he didn't want what we were saying to be
right.
on the microphone.
Hands over the ears. I'm not listening. Not enough of you two.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel, and it's very nice to have you with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org is where you can write to us and where people like this have written to us.
Sure. Don wrote, what is most disturbing about the Trump phenomenon is not what he says, but that so many people buy into what he says. Well, I think Don, who is usually funny, is right on the money here because... there have been people in the past who were dismissed as jokers, we have said it many times, who couldn't win, they did win, and there was chaos afterwards. And they did it the same way Trump is doing it, by playing to the lowest common denominator. And that is not nice. Well, anyway, and then we also...
It was interesting that Time magazine put Trump on the cover a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And inside, they referred to a cover from 1987, where Trump was again on the cover. It was about his money that brought him on there. And in that article, he talks about maybe someday running for president.
Hmm.
That scares me.
Well...
It's a free country. You could run.
Sure. Trump says... Trump... said from John, Trump should not be taken seriously as a politician. He's an entertainer. But then again, so was Reagan. I think a lot of people have come to see Reagan in a different way than as a former movie star. I mean, you know, take down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev.
After it was half down, which was a great trick, you know?
Yeah. Well, Jorley says, many of the refugees are educated, hardworking people.
Yes.
We can use people like that in this country.
Yes.
If they can contribute to society, why not help get them here? And Colleen says, thanks to Rosemary for mentioning Lebanon. There's a strong contingent of Lebanese here in the Capital District, indeed. Two, my longtime friends from Mexico are angry that they went through the necessary hoops to get here legally, while thousands of others are here without having to go through the same hoops. Just one family's takeaway. Great shows, as always, and that's from Colleen. You know, Colleen, that's an interesting point, but the polling doesn't show that. The polling shows that the Hispanic population in this country is really ticked off about the insult that has been offered by...
who are they polling, though? Are they polling those who are legalized naturally? I mean, naturally legalized through the system, or are they polling all?
Now, you know, I could answer in my usual way, which is... not knowing. Or I could tell you, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
But there are also... We do know that the pollsters have now gotten into this thing where they randomly dial.
Mm.
They randomly dial. On the other hand, when you randomly dial I get calls from pollsters all the time, and I say, I don't take these calls.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who they are. They may well be, you know, what we call pull polls. You know, these are the polls where they call you up and say, did you know Hillary Clinton cheated on her income tax? And what do you think of that?
Those are Hillary Clinton did not cheat on her income tax.
No.
I'm just making it up. This is how rumors start.
These are what we call pull polls. These are to prejudice you. So how do you know when the pollster is on the phone with you whether they're for real or whether they're jokesters?
Mm. Well, you have a great excuse. I mean, whenever a pollster calls, you say, I work in media. I do that all the time.
I was asked to give money on the main street of Great Barrington yesterday by a very good group, and I said, no, I can't.
You work in media?
What media, said the guy.
Yeah. None of your beeswax.
I said WMC, and the guy said, oh, okay, for whatever that's worth. Okay, so then mail.
Oh,
mail.
Terrific.
No mention of David Cameron, PM of GB, on your program this morning in regards to migrants. He is a xenophobe, along with Trump, not allowing any into GB. And where is the WH position on this GB, supposedly our closest ally?
WTF. Okay, that's the best answer.
Okay. Frank and Dr. Joseph, quite frequently a critic, is Alan going, dear Roundtable, is Alan going senile? You have a show discussing the lack of tolerance in refugees dying, and he goes to make some stupid general remark that is thinly veiled comment regarding Austria's Nazi past.
No, he's not going senile. He's always been like that.
Please exercise a little impulse control and think before you open your mouth. 2 exclamation points. Austrians may not be making contributions to WMC, but you still offend the sensibility of your listeners. That's what he said. Okay. All right.
Take it back.
I'm not taking it back.
But I'm of German, Swiss, Austrian heritage,
sure.
And
sure.
I take great offense.
Oh, okay.
I forgot what you said, but I take great offense. On principle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I hear you.
Okay.
But
you're not going to take it back anymore.
No, not at all.
Fine.
I take great offense to you and him. Phil says...
You're just wrong.
Colleen, many Americans don't understand that if you are a poor immigrant from Central America desperate to come here to work to support family back home, there is no line to become legal or get a green card. That is why there are millions of undocumented people here.
Correct.
And Jack says, as a supportive volunteer and Dutch citizen, I take offense, Alan, to group all of Austria as non-welcoming. And that is like saying all Americans are racist and anti-immigrant. Easy for us to point our finger at Europeans. We need to do better in our country first before we criticize. This is your fault, Ray.
Because you
started this whole thing by saying, after I made my little comment, you know, about Austria's past, which I stand by.
What did I say?
You said, here come the letters.
No, I did not,
You said
sir.
Something like
said,
that.
Said, let's welcome our Austrian listeners.
Hello, Austrians.
Yeah. Now you did it.
Guten Tag.
Henry says, I believe the term to create a bias in a poll is called push poll. That's what I said.
You said pull.
You said pull.
Oh, pull.
Yeah. Pull, pull.
Well, we knew what he meant.
Sometimes you pull, sometimes you push.
Push me, pull you, it's all good.
That's right.
Could be.
Depends.
To the roundtable.
A quickie, actually.
Sorry. The Dutch woman is Pauline Clark. Anybody get that one?
No.
I don't get it either. Jay Jones says, progressives should be far more concerned about a Walker, Bush, Christie, Rubio, or even Kasich presidency. All are further to the right than the ludicrous Trump. And
we are worried about that.
And Ildo says, a great wall of Trump? Is that wall he wants to build in 4 years? This guy just wants to print his name on the wall of his fame, Ildo. You know, I was just talking to our wonderful, brilliant assistant news director, and Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know that she's a star. She is. She's a bona fide star skater.
Oh,
ice skater.
Oh,
ice
yeah.
skater.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, as a younger woman, and she's still quite young, teaching people how to skate in the Walman Trump rink
in
New York.
Amazing.
That's a Trump rink, and I remember seeing that. Okay, and then and Jim says, could Trump be our Berlusconi?
Oh,
and Richard says, Alan should be ashamed of himself to comment about the Austrian character. Okay, and we got that one already. Thank you. And we did that one also. And okay, so Jorge is pronounced, says Steve, Ramos, not Ramos, think mayor of Chicago. At least you didn't say George, Steve.
Sorry. I'm print, not radio.
That's right. Well, you're radio now.
Ramos. Okay.
Okay. So, Paul said, I think the wall is a great idea. Think about the jobs it would create, the builders, suppliers, guards, etc. Talk about a stimulus. Why would Donald want the Mexicans to build it? And when it is built, you could really have line, and we can monitor who cuts ahead. That's from Paulie. And may I remind all that while the majority are Muslim, a lot of refugees are not Muslim. Actually, they can constitute a larger proportion of refugees than the total population, since other religions are being overtly attacked in a form of cultural cleansing. And that's from Jack. And then we heard from someone, Sean. While I totally disagree with Trump, I think he is doing a good job bringing the immigration topic to the presidential debate. What'd you say, Rosemary?
I said, oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Yes, I agree. Ken says, the Great Wall of China couldn't keep the Mongols out, and the Berlin Wall couldn't keep the East Germans in. So there's that, Mr. Real
Estate. Hadrian's Wall as well. All failures.
Mr. Real Estate Developer.
I think the Wall of China worked pretty well, right?
No.
It had its moments of weakness, but I mean, it was on principle, it was fairly well built. Chinese technology.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay. There we go. That's it. Well, that's what I got so far.
Okay. Next topic, please.
Okay. Let's move on to let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll finish up. Sorry, Rosemary.
You don't even need us here today. Yeah.
No,
I should go get a coffee.
We'll be right back.
Sure.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Medical Center's Joint Replacement Program. Private rooms, pre-surgical education and rehabilitation, program coordinator, and 10 orthopedic surgeons. 413-395-7680. Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute Museum, Utica, New York. Presenting Monet to Matisse, The Age of French Impressionism, original works by Monet, Degas, Renoir, Cézanne, Matisse, and more. MWPAI.org. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. Most of the program this morning we're going to dedicate to the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. A lot of, obviously, maybe you've noticed from the music that we're playing this morning, which is certainly themed that way. So I thought I'd bring it up during the panel discussion this morning, especially since the President of the United States went to New Orleans yesterday to look at the city and to celebrate the city on Katrina's anniversary. President Obama called New Orleans a beacon of resilience and strength, the city swiftly moving forward in the wake of an epic tragedy. Just days before the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, one of the Gulf region's most devastating storms, you are an example of what is possible when, in the face of tragedy, in the face of hardship, good people come together and lend a hand. And certainly, he also said there is much work that still needs to be done, and said that while the progress you've made is remarkable, that's not to say that things are perfect.
Time magazine had a really interesting chart looking at how the city has changed over the past 10 years, and population overall is down. Median income for blacks who live there is exactly the same, whereas median income for Hispanics has risen, but not as much as the median income for whites. So what happens is the income divide, Bernie Sanders, here it's happening in a little microcosm. It also had the effect of the schools are much better. The schools were all, many schools were wiped out, so you had to rebuild.
I think they're all charter schools now.
Yeah,
every one of them.
Education apparently is much better in the city. Pollution in the water must be just still dreadful. The whole system of stopping storms and building up the levees, that's still.
But outside, if you listen to the BBC this morning, outside in some of the swamps, they're gone because the Mississippi is no longer depositing any of the dirt
down at the lower end. And as a result of that, the whole ecosystem is messed up outside, you know, of the levees. And I think on the demographics you were just talking about, I think I read that the African-American population is up in New Orleans proportionally to the population.
That's not what the Time magazine had. Right. It actually showed there's a bigger percentage of whites now than there, there was pre-storm.
However, what do you make of that fact?
Well, I think they lived in a lot of neighborhoods that did not come back as fast. There is indications
if at
that
all.
Right. There are indications
One
that
of
people
our listeners
are coming
will
back
check,
now.
Will fact check for us on that.
Yeah, they will.
I think I'm right, as always. I think I'm right. Rich says, please consider that many of these illegal aliens, I'll call them fearlessly, broke the laws of two countries, violating their own visas as well as ours. Let's start there. All right, says Rich. And then Robert says, several years ago, I was on a bus tour in Vienna when the guide made a snide joke in German about how much nicer a once Jewish neighborhood had become since the war. All the German-speaking tourists laughed heartily. Alan knows of what he speaks.
Well, this is more on the theme of you're always right.
So then all Austrians are bad? Is that is that our point?
Yeah, that's
No. I happen to have a great belief in a discredited notion that they used to teach in college, which is that countries have character, that they have what we call national character. You know, you got to Greece, you hear the same kind of thing, but in the other direction about the Germans. So that's part of
Well, let's talk about Japan then.
What about it?
Well, our one of our fiercest enemies, now a great friend. And
as well as the Germans.
So sure. Can character change? I guess, is Freud wrong when it comes to countries?
Oh, you mean is can national character of countries change? I think so, and I think you would have to go to the, I don't know that this is the right word, but oppressive regime of General MacArthur, who just wasn't going to allow, who was going to do everything in his power to make sure that the Japanese came along in the image of the United States, and they did, and they prospered. So I don't know what that says about character.
Or dictatorships. They can have their pluses, apparently. I mean, if he ran and everything's better now, then by inference, dictatorships can have their good points.
I see.
Isn't that what you're saying?
No.
Are we done talking about Katrina?
to me, the interesting thing about Katrina is the idea of federally funded flood insurance. Do I approve of it in places like New Orleans or North Carolina or Florida? And no, I don't. I think it's dangerous to build in these places. We can't deny climate control or climate change, excuse me, and then also keep funding places that are subject to these horrible storms and the effects of a rising ocean. It's going to only cost us money for the benefit of, you know, a small percentage of the United States.
It's been very interesting, I think, over the last couple of weeks as we've been leading up. And, of course, NPR has been doing a really good job, I think, over the last several weeks on their news magazines talking about the 10th anniversary and looking at different perspectives. But the blame game is very interesting because it's basically now just all government entities screw it up.
Yeah.
I think that was, which not untrue, but I think that's sort of the shorthand now.
Let's put it this way. W is not going to get any awards for his work down there. He is apparently, according to the pollsters again, not held in high regard. As in, Brownie, you're doing a hell of a job.
And he's going back, right? He's actually going for an event at the anniversary, which I thought was interesting. So. Okay, let's move on to another issue. And as soon as I can find where that is, we will get there.
You going to the Traverse tomorrow?
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Why?
Because I would like to see that horse. I love the excitement. I love going to touristy places.
Can't you watch it on TV?
It's not the same. It's like not going to the Macy's Day Parade. It feels completely different to be there than to watch it on TV. all those people excited about the, you know, the event. And I thought the article you had us read, Joe, that you sent us from Sports Illustrated was fantastic.
Beautifully written.
It was beautiful. It was by a guy who is from Saratoga. So,
yeah, local
and
boy.
Has a local boy who has long covered racing, so he gets Saratoga, he gets the tradition.
Tim Layden.
Yeah. Yep. Excellent article. Highly recommended to those of you who are taking homework assignments. And the point in there that I wanted to ask you about, maybe you can look at that, is he says, horses are not made like they used to. Is this the result of what, continued breeding or something? And so the fear that this animal, this beautiful, really expensive animal,
yeah,
could die is high.
Yes, it is.
That people will be holding their breaths, not just to see if he'll win, but whether he'll hurt himself unto death. Ray has a...
Well, no, I think maybe there is some metaphor there. I mean, horses are still made the same way, but there's a lot more money riding on it now,
sure.
I think there's more concern there.
Well, I'm against horse racing.
Well, a lot of people, increasing number, are. My father loved it, and so, you know, we always were brought in. And that's why I like the article that it brought. But the economics of it are fascinating, that the breeding rights to American Pharoah were sold before he was a Triple Crown winner.
Right.
So presumably, they got a lot less money than they might have.
Right.
And so the idea of racing him, they control the horse.
That explains something.
They control the horse this final year before it goes into the breeding. And so this is what, the second big race it's been entered in since it becoming a Triple Crown winner. And I guess the company that bought the breeding rights, they said, we'll pay you. We'll pay you. No more racing. Just give them to us intact now.
Yeah.
So one more. It's going to be this race, and it'll probably be the Breeders' Cup. And then the horse will be done.
But that's three big races mm-hmm. since the Triple Crown win that horse perhaps should not have been in, because it's so much more valuable as a breeding sure. stock than as a racer.
But for race fans and for people who want to see this horse,
and of course, his owners. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting because I love this story. But the horse owner now is saying, "Yeah, we got to keep racing this. People love it. It's good for the sport."
Yeah.
Hard to argue with that, don't you think?
It is hard to argue with it. Although, for all the reasons that you just mentioned, and I also think that people, as proven by an hour ago when tens of thousands of people showed up at the track just to see the horse do a lap around the track.
Yeah.
I don't know that the horse necessarily has to run without still being a rock star.
Right.
And showing up and seeing it. They did this with Four Star Dave. They did this with Cigar. They did with other horses where they brought him out and did things. So, funny side. I think it's certainly possible.
There is that risk, though. You know, it's the idea of putting a horse worth that much and endangering him. There is, it's like the NASCAR.
And not to mention the poor jockey.
Right, that's true. That is not a good impulse. I understand that when I'm saying it, but I do think that hypes the interest in all of this.
Yeah, but doesn't it also hype the interest in gambling, which is something that I really think this country has got to deal with sooner or later? We're doing too much of it. We have all of these places. We have all of the places that, you know, some people go to. And
casinos.
Casinos.
It's where they gamble.
Yeah.
Well, I would argue that anyone going the, however, 50,000 plus people that are going to go see American Pharoah, if they're going to bet on this animal, it's going off at 1-5. They're not going to make a lot of money.
No.
You almost lose money to bet on it,
don't
you?
You're paying to go.
That certainly, Joe, is not what I meant. What I meant was that we are glorifying gambling on virtually every place we can. And
it's,
I think,
so
it's
Puritan. I mean, some people abuse alcohol. We tried banning alcohol to help them, and look what happened. And the same thing with gambling. Yes, some people abuse it, but many people gamble in proportion, safely, have fun at it. So we have to stop it for everybody because of that.
Oh, you guys ever listen to Mike and Mike in the morning?
No.
Sounding like them?
No, but a great sports show. And Mike Greenberg, who I think... Joe, you've interviewed Mike, right?
Yeah.
He made the point the other day that the one good thing about legalized sports betting is that when you do that, you cannot bet money you do not have. When you go to a bookie, you can just call them up and say, give me 200 on the Jets this week.
So there are no more bookies, Ray?
No, that's not the point. Rosemary's point was prohibition exponentially increased the mafia control of alcohol.
Right,
and strengthened them. And even when liquor was legalized again, they were still strong.
Okay.
So the point is, from a gambling standpoint, legalized gambling, much safer in that you're not betting money you do not have.
You got to put the money up front.
Yeah.
You got to have
it.
In some cases.
Then if you bet money you don't have, and then the guys come and they
they break your legs.
Maybe perform some arthroscopic surgery on your knees.
We also have the oldest track in the country in our backyard. Yeah. I mean, this is the oldest track in the country. I mean, this is our, as the article says, it's Wimbledon. I mean, it's this old, storied place, and it has an incredible history.
Tradition. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, we heard from Jim, 15 horses died so far at Saratoga this season. Could that be true? 15 horses?
I teach in journalism that one number alone means nothing. 15? Out of how many horses that were there? How many died last year or 5 years ago? Is that a big number or a small number? I have no idea.
It's still horrific to see.
Ray, please remember, says another listener, that Austria was still celebrating Kurt Wald, Waldheim, I guess, long after his history in RFDSS was exposed.
Mm. Mm. And the UN, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, how about that?
All right, we're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. We welcome you. You can still write letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we will continue with the program after this break.